Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Reporter. Joining us today is Roger Smith, president, CEO, and chairman of OBN Holdings. The company currently trades over the counter, and the ticker symbol is OBNY. And OBN Holdings is engaged in acquiring and developing businesses worldwide. And the company has interests in a diverse number of industries, which include entertainment, manufacturing, technology, as well as business services. Thanks for joining us today there, Roger.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure. And one thing I would like to say, actually, the ticker symbol is OBNI.
Right, correct. So it's not, it's OBNI. I apologize for leaving out the I. You guys are currently on the pink sheets. You currently filed your 10-Q, so looking to move over to the bulletin board. What were some of the highlights of the recently filed 10-Q and quarterly results?
Well, the major highlight is the the value of the company now, the net worth of the company. We are at a net worth of approximately $7.1 million, which is based on the number of outstanding shares, that's approximately 35 cents per share book value. And we had earnings of 5 cents per share for the this past quarter as well.
Great. Now, you currently started off as your business model was strictly entertainment, and then so what was some of your rationale into kind of turning the business model around to being more of an acquisition and developing company?
Well, the I guess what we were looking at is that the people who work for the company, myself and my CFO especially, have a great deal of background in the area of operations, marketing, finance. We've consulted with well over 500 companies worldwide in all different types of industries, as well as the federal government. So we had the expertise to really get involved in a lot of different industries, and we did not, and so we really weren't utilizing our full resources that we had by just focusing on entertainment. And so that was one of the major considerations and the reason why we did make a successful transition. But then also, you know, we felt that getting involved in, number one, geographically expanding made a lot of sense, as well as expanding in various types of industries, because that way we had the ability of growing much more rapidly. Plus, we were not didn't have to worry about economic downturns based on a specific industry or a specific economy. So it just opened up a whole host of opportunities worldwide for us, and we're just starting to explore that. We made the change in 2007. And we ended up in a little bit over a year, we went from a net worth of a minus $1.6 million to over $5 million within that period. And as I said, we're at $7.1 million looking a year later. And I just see some fantastic growth that's going to be occurring, and it's, you know, becoming a lot more fun to put it simply.
Certainly. Now, the office, company has offices in Hong Kong, Japan, Canada, Mexico, of course, the U.S. So, obviously, you know, profitability is one of the factors that you look for in, you know, the acquisitions. What are some of the other synergies that you look for in, you know, companies that you're looking for as far as M&A?
Well, our model is very simple, and it's I've sort of taken pages from Warren Buffett's playbook. Basically, we look for
companies. It's not a bad place to get them.
That's true. You know, we just basically we look for companies that are profitable, and even if it's a small profit, that's fine. It doesn't have to, you know, if a company has a profit of, let's say, $1 million. And for us, then that's very good. Obviously, for someone like Berkshire, then they wouldn't even, you know, that wouldn't even be a speck on, you know, what they were looking for. But we look for, the major thing that we look for is if the company is profitable, if the management is willing to stay, because if we buy a company, then we're not looking at replacing a lot of people or the management, because they made it the way that it is, and a lot of times they want to make it continue, and that's what we look at as well. And then we look at the growth potential, both you know, locally in whatever region in which they're located, as well as expanding to other markets, because it's really important. Like, for instance, personal service companies are not things that we really look at getting involved in, because, you know, if you're talking about a doctor or an attorney, you know, there's only a certain amount of growth that can happen within, you know, with those types of businesses. And so therefore we look at or we ask the question, can we expand those markets? And that's the key thing. And if there are synergies within some of the companies that we already have, then that makes it even more attractive. But, you know, the key thing is, can we expand the markets? For instance, one of the companies that we acquired, it was a trading company that was doing importing and exporting of pork products, and primarily to Japan. And we're right now working with the president of that particular company in expanding the markets to South America, as well as to China, Thailand, India. So we really look at expanding the markets, and also look at acquiring companies and then helping those companies grow by acquiring other companies in the same industry and putting those together as well.
Well, great. And so what are some of the trends right now? And I guess, you know, you cover various markets. So what are some of the market trends right now, and how well positioned is the company to capitalize on them?
Well, I look at, you know, it seems like there are a lot of, you know, even though in the U.S., you know, there has been somewhat of an economic downturn, that actually has been it hasn't been detrimental to us, because we do see certain things occurring and other opportunities. I mean, for instance, our even on our entertainment side, there's things in which we're developing, and we'll be having some, actually putting out some releases relatively soon about some projects, entertainment-related projects that we're doing over in China. You know, China is a really big growth market. A lot of people are looking to get into that market. And I think because of the fact that we have been involved in it for the last 2 years, we've made some great inroads. So there's a lot of growth potential there that we are starting to take advantage of. Looking at, you know, there's other markets, like in certain industries, the U.S. and perhaps Japan, there is a bit of a weakness in certain areas. But again, you know, we feel that there's still many opportunities that we can take advantage of. And it's, you know, basically for us, as far as the, you know, growth and trend, it, you know, we just, you know, we're just constantly moving forward and increasing our, you know, the value of the company. I expect over the next 5 years for us to grow somewhere between 20 and 25% annually, which is really, in my mind, it's a conservative estimate based on our business model. But, you know, I look at money as being like water. And in other words, what I mean is that even though you might have a drought in certain areas, then it doesn't disappear. Money doesn't disappear. It just moves from one place to another. And we try to make sure that we have interest and we have projects and we do various deals in the area where the money happens to be.
And so what are some of the other factors that that differentiates OBN from some of the other players in the sector?
Well, I feel, and I can't say it's absolutely the case, but I have to say that I don't know I know a lot of small companies that obviously do acquire other businesses.
Mm-hmm.
However, most of the companies I know that do that, and most of the ones that I've heard of, they really look at acquiring businesses in a particular segment, i.e. entertainment or printing or whatever it is in their particular segment. So they really
stick
look
to
at
one, right, yeah.
Vertical integration.
Uh-huh.
We are doing something totally different. I mean, I look at us and compare us to a Berkshire Hathaway or a GE, you know, those types of companies who have interest in many different markets. And I really don't know of any other small companies that do the same thing that we do. And, you know, I'm not saying that there aren't, and I apologize if there are other companies. I just don't know of any of them.
Right. Well, I know you're just trying to, based on what you know, that's, you know, you feel that you guys are trying to go across several markets. So certainly a good answer. And perhaps you could walk us through your background and experience, Roger, as well as that of some of the key management team over at OBN.
Well, one of the major partners, my background is that I've been involved in, as I say, consulting for probably 25 to 30 years now. I actually used to be a financial consultant at Solomon Smith Barney. You know, I've been involved in a lot of areas, i.e. in entertainment. I've managed various entities over that in that particular area. I've been involved in a lot of projects between the U.S. and Japan. I have been working with on various projects in Japan for the last 15 plus years, and I have a lot of ties in there. My background, you know, I guess it's sort of, people find it sort of interesting because my from a academic background, and I've been involved in my undergraduate degree, for instance, is in photography and graphic design. Then I have a master's in business from the University of Chicago. So I look at things from both an analytic point of view as well as use certain types of creative ways of dealing with products and problems and issues and, you know, just figuring out ways in order to, you know, make the company grow and work. And it, to this point, it's worked for us. As far as my CFO, Larry Taylor, he and I've known each other for, I guess, 40 plus years. And his background is somewhat similar. He has a master's. He graduated from school out here in California. But he has been working, he's been doing consulting again for some amount of time that I have, but he was working with Deloitte and Touche and Ernst & Young. And, you know, he's worked with and consulted with companies such as the Navy, Calcan, Mars, all of the major, you know, Fortune 500 companies. So, you know, we have the expertise to look at small businesses and how to deal with those types of situations, large businesses and how to deal with those types of situations. And, you know, it's worked out very well for us. And, you know, another key person is Don Wilson. He's been involved in entertainment for many, many years and has actually run, he was used to be the president of Quest Communications, which was Quincy Jones's former company. And, you know, so he's been involved in some major projects in the entertainment area, both in the music as well as television, film, and so on. So, again, you know, we have a very diverse background. One thing, when I first started the company, then one of the questions that a person asked me, what qualifications do you have to run an entertainment company? And, or what do you know about broadcasting?
Mm-hmm.
And my response to that particular person was that I don't have to have that experience. What I have, the experience that myself and, again, my CFO Larry has, is that we know how to run a company. We know how to deal with the financials, how to deal with marketing, operations, and so on. We hire, and we can hire, people that have those expertises in those particular areas. And that's really the thing that we bring to the table, and that's one of the reasons that a lot of smaller companies are interested in working with us. You know, one of the things that we found in doing our consulting over the years is that there's some very intelligent people there, engineers, scientists, and so on. The problem is they don't understand how to effectively run the business side, or in some cases they're not interested. And that's the void that we fill. And by those companies are interested in being a part of OBN because of the fact that they come under our wing, our wings, and then we handle the, you know, all of the stuff that they find boring, the business stuff, the reporting, all dealing with, you know, investors and shareholders and everything else, and they can do what they want to do, which is to create their products and develop their business. And so that's why this whole situation is very, it's a very synergistic type of arrangement that we have. And it's, again, it's been working out very well for us to this point.
Right, well, sort of bringing, you know, the best from both worlds. And so in terms of what are some of the talk to us about some of the company's the management goals for the company over the course of the next 12 months, and including you know, future growth strategy.
Well, as far as growth is concerned, bottom line is that I'm planning, you know, we're looking at companies worldwide to acquire. The only thing that would, you know, we look at, there's certain limitations as far as, you know, there might be certain industries that we don't want to get involved in. There might be certain regions of the world that we don't want to really get involved in for, you know, for different reasons. But we're looking at growth through acquisition. And what we're right now, as you mentioned, we are on the pink sheets, again, under ticker symbol OBNI. But within the next, I predict, probably next 45 days less, depending upon, you know, how quickly we can do it, we're looking at moving back to the bulletin board. And then our next step, which should happen, again, I'm projecting about 90 to 120 days out, that we're, you know, my goal is to actually apply to move over to the Amex. So that's another move that we're looking at. We're working right now on getting a listing on the Frankfurt Exchange and possibly on the Hong Kong Exchange. And also one of the things that we're doing is that we're planning on doing a secondary offering. Right now we have approximately 1 million shares in the float. Unlike a lot of, you know, pink sheet companies, we don't have like 10, 20, 30 million shares in the float. We have a very tight float right now, which is good on one hand, but it's not, because, you know, we are working with some very talented people that are introducing OBN back to a lot of other institutional investors as well as you know, retail investors. And so we need to, you know, we're working on getting more shares into the float, because it's not coming up. My concern, to be quite honest, is that, you know, that the price of the stock can start moving it and moving too quickly. Prior to this, we've been very thinly traded, and that's because, you know, we've been rebuilding everything. Now that we're at this point, then, you know, we're working very hard to let the people know about us and to get things out. And when I, and by the way, when we do our secondary offering, 90% of the monies that we generate from that, we're actually planning on using for acquisitions. Again, the major thing is acquisition and development. And, well, you know, that's really our mantra.
Well, good. And so do you believe that the company's investment story is, and upside potential is completely understood and appreciated by the financial community and investors in particular?
Well, I think that, again, we were, you know, below the radar, well below the radar for the last few years. And so I mean, I would have to say that, you know, many companies, they talk about how undervalued their stock is. And, you know, I have to say that at this point, you know, I think the last price our stock traded was somewhere in the neighborhood of 17 cents a share. Well,
right.
if the market price is 17 cents a share and the book value is 36 cents a share, then obviously it is undervalued. When you look at earnings, again, even using a simple multiple of earnings of 5 cents, if you use a multiple of 10, then that means that, you know, we should be, our stock should, to be quite honest, in my opinion, it should be somewhere at a minimum around, you know, somewhere between 50 cents and a dollar, if not more, because, you know, we are definitely undervalued, and that's because people don't know who we are and what we are doing, and we're starting to do a lot of things to start letting the world know just that. We also recently produced a 30-second commercial that we have airing on television right now. People can also see a copy of it or a sample of the commercial on our website, but it is being broadcast on throughout the United States on one of the we have a relationship with another television network, and it's being aired on that. And so we're doing everything that we can now to, again, reintroduce the company to the investing world.
Well, great. And so once again, joining us today is Roger Smith, CEO, President, and Chairman of OBN Holdings, which trades currently over-the-counter. The ticker symbol is OBNI, and as mentioned, is currently trading at 17 cents a share. Now, before we conclude, Roger, just to kind of rehash everything, what are some of the key reasons why investors should consider OBN Holdings as a good long-term investment opportunity?
Well, I would say because of the fact that we, you know, looking at our growth and, you know, our projected growth, which I am easily looking at projection of, as I said, 20 to 25% year to year for at least the next 5 years, I think that that's one of the things that would really, you know, would be a rationale for looking at investing in the company. Also, again, the fact that we're undervalued, we are in the process of moving back to the bulletin board, and then, you know, our next step very soon is to apply to move to the Amex. And, you know, there's not a lot of stock out there. I mean, looking at it from a supply and demand perspective, then, you know, it really, in my opinion, is very good value now. And looking at our growth, it would be something that makes sense to, you know, to buy and to hold on to. Oh, and one thing I guess I should state, you know, relative to the company is that for the ever since we started, you know, my CFO and I have been totally dedicated to the company to the point where in building it, we actually have not taken a salary since we started this. I mean, we've just been working on making it work and making it grow. And while our salaries have been accruing in the company, what I have done on numerous occasions and he has done is to convert the salaries that have accrued into OBN stock. So, again, you know, we have our lives and our hearts and souls invested in making this thing grow. It's not a situation of just, you know, looking for a, you know, making a quick hit or something like that.
Well, certainly that's something that investors, you know, certainly, you know, value. And, you know, we look forward here to continue to track the company's progress as well as growth and report on some of your upcoming M&A activities and projects. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time today to update our investors.
Okay, and I really appreciate being on here and appreciate your time.
Anytime.